This is Parsha Parsha Vayera. We have a. I don't want to rank the test personally, especially because Chazal spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was the hardest test that he had. What's even the last test that he had? We'll see. The next Parsha may be the last test that he had. But the hardest test that he had, if you were asking for the top two or three, I imagine everyone would agree. Okay, since it was among the top one, top two, it's a pretty serious test. After all, when it was finished, all said and done, he now had a malach come from Shemayim and say, I now know that you are, in fact, God-fearing. What happened now that was different? A lot of people talk about what changed. Why wasn't he God-fearing when he walked into the fiery furnace the first time? Why wasn't he God-fearing when he got to the test of the Ra'av, of the famine, or left his father behind? And that, why wasn't every test? Why is this the test that goes God-fearing? So the reason why, many people say, was that? I can't see it, so. I mean, if you look at the very end, after the whole story happens, and he goes up to slaughter his son, and he stops at the last second. A Malach says the following. It says, we had this, if you remember our Shana talk, we gave this discussion as well. Different topic, different point. Don't do anything else to him. I now know. You're God-fearing. What made this test God-fearing more than everything else he had?
Because with all other tests, it's just tests with himself. He's doing everything for
this is the first time. It's his own business.
Yeah,
it's his own business. Okay, one possibly could be that he's now involving someone else.
Yeah.
So that makes him more God fearing. It's not about himself. It's more in people that.
It's his son.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. Interesting. He's more people he includes, especially his own flesh and blood. The more, even though he did give his son a bris, right? That also was a test he had that he gave Yishmael and Yitzhak later on. But it's not the same as killing him, obviously. It's different, but it definitely involved their lives as well. But maybe it's a little different. I heard a different shot, though, I heard. But I like that shot also. Shot that I heard one time is Vilna Gaon. He said, up until now, Avram was the king of Chesed. He'd been preaching. He was always Chesed, been preaching, you know, to the people. Been preaching them. You don't have to kill your... Most pagans at the time would sacrifice. Even their own children. That was part of what they did. They sacrificed things. That's why it wasn't crazy to throw Avram into the fire. People sacrifice their children. That's what they did. Avram had been preaching up till now, no, love each other. You know, live, don't die for it. Live for it. All of a sudden, now he has a test. And it's not the chesed of Avram. It will be actually the opposite. Here he's known as Baal Chesed, his tent is open on all sides, and the moment that word gets out, what he's about to do right now, he'll be a hypocrite. And his whole movement, his entire movement, will fall down the drain. Don't forget, he's trying to create a movement called monotheism. He's got a following. People are following him right now. He walked through a fiery furnace. Been preaching this, that, the other thing. Also, he's about to go against everything he's been preaching and sacrifice his son. You'd imagine, maybe at that point in time, he would say, like, "This, I can't. This is not a kind God anymore. What happened to my kind God?" But he doesn't. And now, I know you're God-fearing. That's the idea that the Vilna Gaon brings down. But if you look in Rashi for a second, Rashi has a very unusual sentence he says with the same pasuk. It says, "I'll teach you chalal nar, do not cast your hand down upon the boy, v'al tas l'muuma, or do anything else to him." What was he going to do? Do anything else to him? What was he going to do? The Malach says, "Drop your knife. Do not cast your hand down on the boy or anything else." What was the other thing going to be?
Little tickle tickle. Little nosy.
What was he going to do? What was the other thing he says not to do? You know what Rashi says over here? Rashi has a very unusual shot. Troubling shot. Says Rashi, "Val taslo me'uma." The word me'uma is what it sounds like. Says Rashi, in Pasuk, Yud Beis, Perichah Beis, "Don't shecht him." Says Avram, "Amar lo, im kein l'chinan bati l'kan." I came for no reason. I came all this way, 3 days, hiking with my kid, and the fire, and the wood, for nothing? No way. Not on my watch. I'm not walking down here without drawing some blood, says Rashi. What am I going to do? Esebo chavala. Votzi bimenu ma'adam. Let me at least cut the kid. Let me get some blood. I mean, dirty my hands a little bit. I can't walk down like nothing happened. What? If I was writing the script, it wouldn't be that way at all. It would be like the music in the background, right? He's got his hand up. You see like the thundering in the sky. And then you hear the boss call,
"Don't do it, Avram." And he drops this machete behind him, and he falls to his knees, picks up his child as the credits roll and the sun sets, and he walks him down the mountain back to his mom. That's the Avram we all expected and would like to see. Not the bloodthirsty, "What? For nothing I came here? I'm going to cut his face." Just like, whoosh. One cut. Get some blood out of this whole thing. Who are we talking about? Ish chesed?
That's chesed? It's not chesed.
So Avram realized the following point, which you must all realize, because it really defines much of our lives as well. You will be in a moment in time when something's going to happen, and you just did something phenomenal. Phenomenal. Avram understood that he passed a test that was like never the likes before had been seen, nor will we ever see again. A test like that. And it's over. And he's going to walk down the mountain, and he wants a memory. Because if you just see something, and you watch it happen, and you don't do something now about it, then there will be a moment in time when it's gone. You're the best Musa Shmuz out there. You walk away with your friend, we're going to start our minion streak. Or we're going to go, we're going to do something big right now. Tomorrow morning. We're going to get this tomorrow. Tomorrow morning. It's over. It's over. It's gone. It's never going to happen again. And Avram realized he just passed the test that's going to change around things forever. If he doesn't do something now about it and make it real, tangible, then it will just be a memory in his mind and never happen again. I have to cut the kid. I'll make him a scar and I'll never forget what happened. I need to put what just happened into action. It's not enough to watch. I have to do something about it now. Hashem says to him, "You're right. You're absolutely right normally. But not this time. Not with this kid. I'm going to put it's been waiting for you since the time of the creation of the world. An aisle whose horns are caught in a thicket nearby. Shecht that animal." You're right, you need to put it into practice. Shecht that animal. All too often, we say in Aleinu every day, we say, V'edata hayom. I know facts, I know things, I know they're right. But there's still a step missing. What's the next step? You have an intellectual knowledge, but that's not going to cut it. You have to put it into your heart. How do you get from mind to heart? You do. You act on it. When I know something is right, I do it. There was one time, there was a guy who said to his Rebbe, "You know, I really wanted to go to Davin. I wanted to. I just can't do it." He said, "Nah, you don't want to." He said, "No, I told you I want to." "No." He says, he's walking outside with this guy. He says, "You know," and it was raining. He says, "You know how I know that guy wants it to rain? Because it's raining. That's how I know he wants it, because it's raining. If you wanted to, then just do it." There's a level of knowledge. But the moment that you want to, nothing will stand in your way. Hashem gives you opportunity to make it happen. If you want it to happen. We know, so we hear so many schmoozes, hear so many talks, so many things. We had davening talks. How many people were so inspired by the next day, or the next davening they had? It's just the same. They even went to minyan afterwards. What happened? Maybe it was a bad talk. Maybe it was a good talk. We just didn't do anything about it afterwards. What do you do? How do you think about it? So that's an excellent question. You work with someone, you make a note for yourself, write something down, make a commitment, make a pledge, something. But this year is going to be all about understanding things that you will hear from your Rebbeim and from your Charusas. But the next step is all on you. And Avram realized that. And he said, "I don't want to walk down this mountain the same way I came up. If something happened that was big, I have to do something to make it tangible and real. I'll cut my kid in the cheek so I always see that. That also might work." Shem says, "You're right to want to, but now you're not going to do that to yourself. Yitzhak, there's an aisle right there waiting for you." Hashem creates aisles in all of our lives to find some way to make what I just thought about real. Don't go to bed, "You're a great shmooze." Learn for 2 minutes first. Make it real. Write a note for yourself. Something where when you come back and you see what you had in front of you. I wish you all a bracha. Number one, you should be inspired. You should first be yadata. You should learn. You should know why it's important. Then you should have the guts to take that yadata and put it in your heart so that you never forget afterwards. And the way to do that is by action. Don't just stop and listen. Just listen, do, concretize. Have a great job.